Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just come to you humbly and thank you for being the Lord and the God that you are. And Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit just fill this place as we study your word, that you open our hearts and our minds to be able to grasp the teachings that you have us to learn about you and our place with you. And God, we just give you all the honor and the glory for the things that you teach. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Supersessionism Part 2. Who remembers what Supersessionism is? Right. Other ways called as replacement theology. I just like to use big fancy words. And I was actually able to spell it from memory. It's amazing. So last week, remember what we taught about the olive tree and the branch? Does anybody want to recap a little bit about that? What the olive tree and the branch grafting means? Abrahamic. Right. It actually, the tree represents Israel as a whole, and we are grafted in as in the Gentile church, grafted into that tree. Do you remember why we were grafted in? Pardon? Exactly. Yes. Make them jealous and bring them back to serving God. So we discussed how, although we are the branch, we get the benefits of the root and the trunk, and those the root and the trunk are the covenants that God has given Israel. And Jesse suggested maybe we go into that a little bit to be able to distinguish what all the different covenants are and why some of them apply to just the Jews, and some of them can apply to us, not directly, but through the sap of the tree. So I just love this, Dave. You did a great job picking this out. We're going to do a little chart here. Does everybody have a pen and a paper or a pencil? You can help me fill this chart out. So the first covenant, and I want to put in here slash promise. And I would say the first promise was actually a promise in disguise. And I'm going to call it I think they call it Adamic, but I'm going to call it Adam. The Adam promise. Adam slash Eve. And I'm saying that it's a promise in disguise because it happens when he's cursing Satan. And that can be found in Genesis 3:15. Somebody want to open that up? Y'all got Bibles, right? So what is the promise we get from that? It's actually the earliest promise of the Messiah. So, purpose promise. Can read that away. So, promise of the Messiah. And what is the purpose of that promise? Redemption. Because what was going on? What's the context? What was going on at this time when God promised this? What had just happened? Pardon? Adam sinned and thus brought on death and curse on mankind and the world, right? And so God did not create man to just die and be cursed. That wasn't his purpose. The purpose was for him to live and glorify. Remember, before the fall, you know, everything was the way that God had designed and wanted. There was the one-on-one relationship, the fellowship. You know, God was glorified in all his creation, and everything was the way that it was intended. And then when man chose to sin, what is sin? What's the definition of sin? Separation from God. How does that happen? Disobedience, right. So that disobedience is what causes the separation and the sin and brings on the curse. So God had to provide a cure for the disease. The world and man was now diseased, and God had to provide a vaccine for the common, for the use of today's example for what we're going through. So that was done by promising the Messiah, the one who is going to cure mankind and the world eventually of this terrible disease that Adam and Eve brought on. So who was the promise given to in a roundabout way? The curse was to who? To what? The curse that God spoke when he was delivering this was directed to who? The serpent, Satan. And so Satan's curse is the reciprocal of man's blessing. So if Satan is cursed, that's good for us. You know, if we're cursed, that's good for Satan. So Satan's curse is a blessing to us, but it was a promise and a blessing to who at the time? At the initial time, it was for Adam and Eve. But just like Hebrews said that by one man, all are sin, have fallen, you know, and also by one man all of ours are saved. It's really a real broad paraphrase. But that's kind of the idea. So, does this promise apply to us and the church? Yes. Because it is through the Messiah that brings on the church age and brings on redemption. Pardon? Any question? So the next one is what Jan was alluding to, and that was Abrahamic. Abrahamic. What was the purpose for this covenant? We find that in Genesis 17, 1 through 8. It's a little long. Go ahead and read that. Genesis 17, 1 through 8. Not everybody at once. It's one at a time. Go ahead. So, the purpose is, the promise was to make him father of many nations. Father of nations. The purpose is to create to create Israel. Right. That's even better. But but he wanted to create the people and his original intent in doing this, bringing Abram out of Ur and creating a nation, he was really wanting for them all to be a nation of a priest because of the sin that was going on. The rest of the world, he wanted them to show an example and bring God. You know, they were like going to be the first missionaries if they would have participated and obeyed. But so the original first, you're right, I don't minimize that, but the original main thrust of the purpose is to create a people, you know, to be his people and his priest. Create Israel. So one of the things that people like to use is Genesis 12:3 says, "I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Does that apply? Who is that written to, first of all? Pardon? Abraham. And this wasn't given until his name was changed. So what was the context? What was going on for God to give this promise? Right, and well, yes, but the other thing is that he's in the process of building a nation. And so he's, in a sense, trying to protect this nation. And so he's saying, you know, people who bless you and accept you, I will bless. those who don't, I won't. Is that applicable to us today? The church? No. Because it was in the process of building a nation. And we're not doing that. Nations are already built. Any questions on that? Comments? This just shows you, and I hear this all the time. Preachers on TV and radio, they're claiming this, you know. The reason that the United States is blessed is because they bless Israel. And I think it's more because the United States was founded on biblical precepts more than it was, you know, blessing Israel. It doesn't hurt, but... I don't think so, because it's because of the context of when God gave that blessing. He was in the process, I mean, the purpose of that blessing was to protect and to build his nation. Like I said, I think that we are blessed because we are our country is following God. Yes. Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Church. And I think that blessing Israel doesn't hurt us. but I still believe that we're not specifically blessed because of it. I mean, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. I think it will be because of the drop in morality in the United States, more so than whether we bless or not bless Israel. Because our country turns back on God. I think it has more to do with us turning our back on God more than our back on Israel. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because of context of what's going on, and from that context you can glean the purpose of that promise. And the purpose of that promise was to build the nation. The nations built. And it's okay if you disagree with me. It's okay for you to be wrong. I don't mind. I think God still blesses Israel because God still has a purpose for Israel. And we see that in Revelation. You know, when the church is taking out, God is again directly relating to the people of Israel because he wants them to come back to them, and they do in Revelation. So God does have a specific purpose for Israel, and so he blesses them, and he keeps hanging with them no matter, you know, what they do. He chastises them like a father does his children, but he still loves them, and he still wants them to renew their relationship with him. Right. Yep. One side is a little greener than the other. So, and that's why I don't believe that it applies to us today, because God has accomplished his purpose in creating the people of Israel. And so, at the time, he was trying to protect Abraham and his people as they were growing and becoming a nation. But I think our blessings, our curses, have more to do with how we approach God rather than how we approach Israel, our relationship. Yes, that's the whole idea of supersessionism, is the church, and that's why we're going over this, you know. What does it mean to be grafted in to the olive tree rather than replacing the olive tree? So that's why we're going through this. So there are specific things that are only for Israel, and even though we're grafted in, you know, we vicariously get some of the blessings because of being grafted in, but it's not specifically meant for us as a church. It's specifically meant for the Jews. Okay, next is the Mosaic Law. Or the Mosaic covenants or promise. And you'll notice these follow very, very closely to the separations and dispensation. And because how these covenants change with each section, you know, sort of separates the dispensations on how God is relating differently to man at different times. So this is kind of a subset of dispensationalism, you might say. Okay, in Exodus 19, 1 through 8. This is an interesting section of scripture, because Here God establishes his promise to Israel if they keep his covenant. But the interesting thing about it is they all say, yes, we will follow and we obey God's covenant before they even know what that covenant is. So the purpose of the covenant is the law, to bring the law to Israel. Because before the law happens, they have pretty much just their conscience to dictate whether they felt that they sinned against God or not. And now God is specifically showing them, this is what it's going to take to please me. And when you go out of these Ten Commandments, you're displeasing me. And what was the purpose of the law? Why did God bring them the law? Teach obedience. Exactly. It was God. You know, people have a habit of saying, well, I'm a good person. And some people even have the audacity of saying, I haven't sinned. And like the song I like to play a lot is Spirit in the Sky. He says, I'm not a sinner, I haven't sinned. That's totally not correct. And the purpose of the law is to show us that it is impossible to please God in our nature. You know, we cannot, you know, if we were able to keep every single law, then God would have a relationship with us and we would, I don't know, I heard that it say that we would go to heaven if we would be able to keep every one of these. And Jesus would not have had to come to save us, because we wouldn't be needing it, because we would be following the law to the T. And so we go through the law, through the commandments, and we say, well, I haven't killed anybody. I haven't stolen anything today. I haven't dishonored my mother or my father, you know, and so on and so on. And the error of that is Jesus brought to their attention that even though you don't physically commit the act, just thinking about it and dwelling on it, like saying, man, I really hate that person. I wish he were dead. He said, you just committed murder in your heart. And that is just as bad as committing murder with your hand. You have sinned. You know, if you say, man, I really wish that car were mine instead of his, you know, you've committed a sin. Because you've, you know, what was coveted over something that didn't belong to you. So even though you don't do it physically, Jesus showed us that just thinking about it, we've fallen short. We cannot keep the law. And that's why he had to come and save us, because it was impossible for us to do. So based on that, what is the promise? He's showing us that we cannot please him by following these, that we'll sin. So what would be a promise? Yeah. Exactly. Holy is being set apart. Right. Right. Exactly. And that was going to be the summation in the end here. What is the context of this promise? Right, exactly. So who was the promise given to? Israel. So does the law pertain to the church? No. The law was not given to the church, and it was, and those promises, you know, to keep the law doesn't belong to the church. That's all the Israeli promise from Mount Sinai. Exactly. So a lot of people are trying, you know, the church is trying, there are denominations trying to keep the law. You know, we got to keep the Sabbath day holy. We got to worship on the Sabbath day. You know, we've got to, you know, do this, you know, the mosaic, Messianic Jews are really big on keeping all of the holidays and the laws and the old traditions. And it doesn't apply to us. It's a specific promise to the Jews. And because, remember, the reason he created this nation was to be a nation of priests. And he wanted them to know, you know, God wanted them to know that you have to be pure to be able to follow me. And if you can do all of these things, then you'll be my people, you know, and I'll be your God. But they couldn't do those things, so what had to happen? What else was instituted, you know, during the time of the Ten Commandments? The feast, the sacrifices, all the things, you know. Let's go back to Adam. Remember when... they were expelled when God was giving down these punishments for disbelief. Adam and Eve already had a covering, didn't they? They had the fig leaf. But way back then, God said that wasn't going to be sufficient. You know, something has to be sacrificed to cover your sin. And they sacrificed an animal and put an animal skin around them. That was the first sacrifice on earth, and it was given by example from God. How did Abel know to please God by bringing animal sacrifice? Because it was taught from Adam and Eve that this is what pleases God. And Cain knew, but he thought he was going to do better because he liked farming. And he was going to bring his first fruits and vegetables, but that didn't please God. But he rebelled and disobeyed God and got jealous and killed Abel, and then Cain was punished. So way back then, God set a precedent that a sacrifice had to be done to cover the sin. And then he reiterated it down here in the law that again, a sacrifice needed to happen to cover the sin. Any other questions on the Mosaic? Okay, we got a couple minutes here. Next is a Davidic covenant, and that is in 2 Samuel 7:16. One thing to know while you're looking that up, this covenant was conditional. God will bless them as long as they obey God's commands. As soon as they turn their back on God, he's not going to bless them anymore. This is called an unconditional covenant. 2 Samuel 7:16, who wants to read? Right, so the promise is an eternal throne, right? What is the purpose of this promise? What was going on when God promised this to David? What's the context here? Yep. The context, if you read back a little bit, David felt guilty because he was living in a castle and God was living in a tent. And David said, I want to build God a house. And I want it to be even greater than my house. And so he summoned Samuel, and he says, we need to do this. And then Samuel says, that sounds like a good idea. And then that night, God spoke to Samuel, and he says, no, he says, I want his son to build my house because David has too much blood on his hands. And so, but God honored David's heart were wanting this, and so he gave this promise to Samuel, which then in turn gave it to David. So the purpose was to honor God, honor David's heart. That's one purpose. The main purpose, though, is why? What does the eternal throne imply? God's kingdom, right? Setting up God's kingdom, eternal kingdom, right? Okay. So, who was the promise given to? David. In other words, David's heir eventually is going to create an eternal, have an eternal throne. Who is that? Jesus. Right? Does this promise apply to us? Only because we're a branch. If we weren't a branch, it wouldn't. He would have his eternal throne, but we wouldn't see it. We would be in eternal punishment. So the part of blessing David with this doesn't apply to us, but the promise of eternal throne does apply to us as a church, being grafted in. If we weren't grafted in, it wouldn't. So that's the importance of knowing who we are, where we are in relationship to the olive tree. The last one is the new covenant. It's also called the blood covenant. And that can be found in Luke 22:20. So let me read that real quick. Thank you. So what is the context of this promise? This new covenant. The context is the Last Supper, right? Being with his disciples. And who is the covenant, the new covenant to? He was speaking to the disciples, right? So the new covenant was to them. What is the significance of the new covenant in bringing up a new covenant? What have they been practicing for 1,500 years? The law, the old covenant. Jesus, remember Jesus? I think it was in Matthew 5:17 said, I did not come to do away with the law or the old covenant. I came to fulfill the law. What does that mean? To fulfill the law. Going to keep it. What was the underlying primary purpose of the law? You needed a sacrifice. Fulfill that law. Exactly. What was the old sacrifice doing? It was a covering of our sins. The new covenant, the new sacrifice, erased our sins, washed it away. So Jesus fulfilled it by washing away those sins rather than just covering it. So is this applicable to the church? Again, it is only applicable to us because we were grafted in. If we weren't grafted in, it wouldn't be applicable. I hope so. Any questions? Okay. I always thought that was kind of odd too, but God has his reasons. I mean, Jesse may be able to elaborate a little bit on that, but yeah. Right. He led Moses all the way around for 40 years, and then he says, nope, you're not going. Not right. Right. Exactly. But David was a conqueror, and that wasn't the image God wanted, I guess, you know, that kind of person to build his house. And you notice Solomon really wasn't, you know, the conqueror. He just accumulated a whole bunch of things. Right. Right. That's what I think. So anyways, I hope this helped. Jesse will do, what are you doing next week? Okay. It'll be a surprise. So. So, but John, would you close this, please? Amen. Thank you.